This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Feels to me like there has been a complete turn on how people view the Knicks in this series based off of just one game. I thought the Knicks would have a chance against Boston, chance to compete maybe more so than some, but I'm not going to go nuts and overreact to one game where it feels like now people legitimately believe the Knicks are going to win this series or the series is almost over after their game one performance.
So he comes right in. He jumps right in. Jumps right in. Good to have you back, man. We missed you. Good to have you back, dude. All right, so I don't know that they're going to win the series, but I have definitely changed my opinion on whether or not they can. And there's three reasons. So this is evidence. This is not just like, wow, they stole a game. Oh, my God. You know, wow. No. The Knicks are a different team than they were before they played the Pistons. They are now more connected. That series, and that was hard to go through, Sal. You know, why is it going six? Oh, why can't you put these guys away? Oh, this is frustrating. Oh, this is not working. But at the end of the day, that series like accelerated their chemistry. So they're a little different than they were. So that's part of the reason. The other reason for this renewed faith in the Knicks, the other reason is that the Knicks won a road game and took away home court advantage, and they didn't play particularly well. They were out-rebounded by 10. They shot 42% overall, and they missed 7, or they hit 17 out of 31 free throws. So it's not like the Celtics played a D game and the Knicks played an A game. The Knicks probably played about a B-minus or a C-plus game, but they still won. And then the other thing is that Celtics are banged up. To what extent, I'm not sure. KP's going tonight. That obviously will change some things for them. But it just seems like Jaylen Brown's diminished, and I don't know when Hauser plays, who's a big piece for them. So you add all that up,
right?
And here we are.
Yeah, but still, to me, it's one game. You think the Celtics are going to shoot that poorly the rest of the series? Probably not.
No. But I don't think the Knicks are going 17 for 31 from the free throw line again.
If Mitchell Robinson keeps shooting that. But see, that's the problem. The Knicks, to me, while I want to, I think there's a difference between hope and true belief. And it seems now that it went from hope, which is what I had. All right. And I was curious. I wanted to see what this team could do in the postseason. We saw what they did against Detroit. As a matter of fact, if they would have beaten the Pistons in 5, mm-hmm. As I'm watching that game in real time, I'm saying I'm coming in and I am picking the Knicks to beat the Celtics. Exactly what Lugie did. That's what I was going to do if the Knicks won in 5. I couldn't do it because of the way that they looked in game 5 and lost, and I just wouldn't have truly believed it. Mm-hmm. But I still wanted to see how they match up, because we've talked about this for years against Boston. Okay, well, the hypothetical last year, what would have happened? This year, the Celtics going to crush the Knicks, the regular season record. I wanted to see it. I believed that the disparity wasn't as great as everybody else believed. However, I needed to see it to really believe it. And then you watch game 1, and they're down 20, getting their doors blown off to a point where I wanted to shut the game off. It was that bad, it looked over. Okay, they come all the way back. Boston continuing to shoot threes, that's what they do. But even within that one game that the Knicks won, and it was nice to see that they could beat Boston even without playing their A game. Do I really believe Boston is going to perform like that the rest of the way? I don't. So I think that there needs to be a little dose of reality here. While it's great that the Knicks were able to finally beat the Celtics and win a game on the road. The Knicks didn't look good at home at all against Detroit. That's not Boston. Porzingis didn't play. That's not really Boston. Boston's not going to miss that many shots. Also, the Knicks have significant flaws. They've got liabilities. They've got a starting two guard in Josh Hart who can't shoot. They've got a backup center in Mitchell Robinson who every time he gets fouled, he's a liability at the free throw line. And those are just some of the issues. Inconsistent play from Mikal Bridges. He's another issue we could get to. Karl Anthony Towns, who is kind of a tweener where he's got talent, but he doesn't have any offensive moves. There's no clear.
So you're feeling me a little bit more on this cat stuff. I mean, can you get off a clean shot without it getting like grabbed
understood.
And like thrown off your path to the rim?
But
you're 7-1.
There's no offensive game plan with him. It's okay, let me get the ball. If I'm open from three, I'll knock it down.
Or just roll my way to the rim. I'm with you on that.
The Knicks are sloppy with the basketball. Yep. So there's a lot of little things that leads me to believe, as much as I hate to say it, because I would love to see the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals, especially against the Pacers, I just don't believe that they're good enough, ultimately, to beat the Celtics. And I'm surprised that there's been such a turn, not just from you, but from a lot of, like, I'm seeing the stuff on social media. I'm hearing, even though I'm not here, I'm hearing what's going on. There's such a turn after one win against a team that's significantly better than
they are. But I don't think it's as big of a turn as you think. There's a big difference from going, I don't think they can win maybe they can mess around and win to they're going to win.
Okay.
Like, there's a big difference there. That's a lot of real estate, and I'm not at that end of the spectrum, and I don't think that I will be unless, you know, from a Boston perspective, somebody goes down for good. Like, see, to get to the point that I've gotten to, short of thinking that they will win the series, but now competitive and have a chance, I had to divorce myself from what my realities were for this team and also for Boston. Now, I wasn't going to just do that to make people feel good. I needed some evidence.
So don't you think then you and I maybe have now kind of met in the middle to where I thought they had a chance, but now I'm being realistic and saying I don't think they're going to beat them.
I think we're on the same page more than we've been all year, ironically.
And I don't think, though, okay, forget you and I for a second. I think the Knicks fan really believes they're going to win this year.
But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. They're up one zip. They just took away home court advantage. Hey, Boston's hobbled, Sal. That if they were fully healthy, I'm not even sure if Drew Holiday's right with that hamstring. So Hauser's a guy. I know that it's like, Hauser, whatever. You got Tatum, you got Brown, you got KP, you got this guy, you got Horford, you got but Hauser plays 21 minutes a game, averages 10 points, shoots 42% from three. I don't know what he's playing again. And what do? They shoot threes. He shoots six a game.
Right.
That's a high volume, high percentage of what they try to do. So it's a slight recalibration. I went from thinking, as you know,
shot,
they got no shot, to I can't wait. I don't know what's going to happen tonight.
So that's why I feel like I'm still the same as I felt before, but I needed to add a dose of reality to some who are making it sound now like the Knicks are going to win this series. I just don't believe it. I wish I was there. I need to see a lot more. Go win tonight.
They lose a tight one tonight?
Yeah, I know. I still feel good about that. But you're telling me you wouldn't have question marks about them returning home?
Of course. They haven't played well at the Garden. Well, they won four straight on the road.
But that's the point. So about the stealing home court, like in my gut, I wish it meant more to me. It doesn't. I still feel like the Celtics, if they start knocking down these shots, and when they do, they look like a totally different team, it's going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm reminded now of how good they are. Remember, too, we're nitpicking, and a lot of people were nitpicking in the first round against the Pistons. Wow, the Knicks barely beat the Pistons. Well, this, well, that. So we're going to ignore the fact that they were down 20 in that game on the road. Like, it took a miracle for them to come back and win that game. And then again, they got lucky in overtime because Brunson missed a shot that he should have made to put it away, preventing it from going to overtime. They played well in overtime, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but I don't think they got lucky. Matter of fact, I think the fact that they didn't win in overtime and had to go to overtime against a superior team on the road and still had the wherewithal to win. See, that's why I'm just feeling not incredibly different, but more different. Like, I feel better about this team. I've said this many times. I've hated the way I've felt about the Knicks this year. The other night was one of the few, outside of maybe when they beat Denver twice this year. Like, there were very few wins where I'm like, that's the team that I thought we were getting. Now, again, they didn't play a perfect game, but to me, that is more evidence that their ceiling is higher. Now, to be true, so is Boston's. Boston, they could have missed 45 threes. I understand that, but You know,
and no Porzingis. Like, that's a huge. If you were to tell me.
But Cat played terribly. Cat did nothing from the Knicks' perspective. He scored, what, 11, 12 points? Right, he played 29, 30 minutes.
But offensively for Boston, it was a big loss not to have Porzingis there. He's a game changer for them. So if you were to tell me going in or tell us going in that Porzingis wasn't going to be a part of game one, mm-hmm. you'd feel differently about it going in, or he wasn't going to be a part of the series, you'd feel differently about the Knicks going into the series. He is a part of the series. He wasn't a part of game one. And looked at all that it took for the Knicks to overcome a 20-point deficit, get back into that game. Like, there were a lot of factors that led to the Knicks getting back in. You give them credit because they won. They did what they had to your point. Overtime especially, because once it went to overtime, you're thinking, oh, no. On the road against a more talented team, going to be tough. Knicks played their asses off. So you give them credit for that. I just feel like it's starting to get a little out of control now. It went from the majority of people not believing that the Knicks had a chance to now the majority of people thinking and expecting the Knicks are going to win this series. And I think there's a big dose of reality right around the corner.
Listen, the answer might be in the middle. Very well might be in the middle. I think the circumstances are what they are. And now Vegas is telling us Knicks are going to get punked tonight. Knicks are 10-point dogs, right? I think they went off at 9 or 9.5. It's actually half a point higher. Now, maybe it was bet down, whatever. I don't know. So they're still thinking, kind of an anomaly. But I was waiting for this team to get. Mike, did you see the way Josh Hart? Well, we're not surprised when Josh Hart does it. But
right.
Like remember the sequence where he had the back-to-back offensive rebounds?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And remember the sequence when I forget whose hands, like he ripped the ball that and he hurt his thumb?
That's what he does.
No, I know. But now Mikal Bridges is starting to do it. He's the one who made that great defensive play at the end of the game with 5 seconds to go to make sure they don't get a shot to tie it. So there are. And by the way, now you were out. I gave you, and this is an off-the-radar number. I gave everybody a number. I said, the magic number, if the Knicks want to really mess around and do something, and I didn't think they were going to do anything going into the series. I admit that. I'm on the record. I'm not running from that. 13. 13 was my magic number for Deuce McBride. One of the reasons the Knicks haven't looked the same this year is because Deuce has not had a good year.
Yeah.
He started the year, his knee was jacked up, he wasn't getting minutes, he wasn't playing, he wasn't shooting well. We all, like, it's easy to forget the influence he has on the second unit. And what do we complain about all the time with this Knicks team? Except,
big shots.
Well, we complain maybe a little bit about Tom Thibodeau. Is he great? Or Cat, is he soft?
The bench.
The bench. So
I still don't think it's any good. But,
I'm not saying it's good, but it just can't be awful. And if Deuce is back to being Deuce, that it's a one-game read, but he knocked down 3 triples. That changes so much for this team.
I understood, but that's kind of my point, that it's a one-game thing.
But he did it last year. He's done it before. Yeah. It's not like it's the first game he's ever had. He just has not been in the flow this year. They just look. All I'm saying is they look a little different, and I'm going to enjoy that. I'm going to ride that wave. I'm not going nuts. I give them a chance to win tonight. If they lose by 15, I wouldn't be stunned. But even if they do, hey, see you Saturday at the Garden 1-1.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Dino is in Bayside, Queens. What's up, Dino?
Sal, welcome back. BT, what's up, baby?
Dino.
Yankees, baby, let's go.
Listen, up, buddy?
You got to believe in the faith in the Knicks, the execution. Look at the Dodgers Mets. The Dodgers beat him that year. Look at Tyson Douglas. He got up after getting knocked out. He got it's the faith, baby. It's not the plays right now. It's the belief in the team, and their execution at the end of the game, to me, was unbelievable, period. We gonna go, baby. Let's go.
You see, you have to believe, Dino, and thank you for the call. I think it's part of our responsibility to call it like it is and be more realistic. The fan in me says, yeah, I want to just suspend my true belief and root for the Knicks, but I have to be realistic about what I'm seeing here. I want the Knicks to win as much as anybody. I was locked into that game, yelling and screaming in game one. I want to believe in this team. But the overreaction that I saw afterward, to me, is people ignoring the reality of what the Knicks are. It doesn't mean that they cannot win the series. Hey, look, maybe somebody else gets hurt tonight. Maybe Porzingis is really sick. Maybe the Knicks just play their A game and there's nothing Celtics to do about it. Who knows? But there's a long way to go. And to go from where the majority felt about the Knicks prior to game one to where now it feels like the majority have swung to post game one, to me, is not right. It's somewhere in between. Knicks have a chance. You got to be realistic. And I think the Celtics played an awful game. You won't be seeing that again from Boston.
Yeah, they played poorly. And they're a proud group. So I expect a team that's going to come out and play very different and be much, well, not different stylistically, but certainly be much more efficient. Listen, and by the way, Sal, I think the other thing that's gassing up some Knicks fans here, you know, now last night just added to it. You peek over to the other series. Oh, wow. Yep. The Pacers won first game. Oh, wow. Pacers won the second game. Why not? If the Pacers win two more and the Knicks can win three more, guess who hosts the Eastern Conference final? The
See,
Knicks.
This is what I mean. You're getting carried away.
But that's
one game.
No, hold on. Yeah. But that's not. See, this is where you and I fundamentally disagree. I don't think it's an overreaction. I think it's a reaction to the circumstances. That's where you and I disagree.
But what are the circumstances? It's a series.
Of course it's a series, yeah. Did you think the Knicks would win game one, honestly?
No.
Okay, me neither.
No. So I thought they'd get at least two in this series, though.
I
was going to bet it. I obviously had stuff going on, so I didn't actually bet it the way that I wanted to, but I did bet one of my buddies where I got the Knicks at 2.5 in the series.
Oh, you did?
Meaning that all they had to do was win two games in the series.
Okay. That's a good bet.
Most people were expecting the Knicks to get swept or lose in five.
Wait, so you're betting buddies now? Like, you know, well, this is not like on a like
website thing. Yeah.
All right, well, that's interesting. I got you. And hope, listen, we all hope that you win that because that means we got a chance to win the series.
But even with that, it's still like, all right, all they got to do is win two games. I know it's an uphill battle to even win the two games against Boston.
But don't you feel better about it that they already bagged one?
Yeah.
That's all I'm
but
saying.
But I still don't feel great. Like
I don't feel great either, but I just feel better than I did.
I got you. Mike is at Oceanside. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
What's up, Mike?
Good to have you back, Sal.
Thank you. Appreciate it. What's up, Mike?
Knicks and six.
Mike. Yeah. Tell him, Mikey.
Just listen. Just.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen, the Knicks have the full complement of what they thought they were going to be now. They haven't had this all season. They gelled through the Piston series. You know, they outlasted the toughness and the beatings of the 90s-style basketball that was being played. And now they're going in there. Boston's a little bit hobbled up. And now Knicks and six. I don't care what you say. Call me crazy. Knicks.
Well, what did you feel before the series, Mike? What was your prediction before the series?
I felt like they would give them a good shot. I felt like they have their
But you didn't think the Knicks were going to win in six going into before they won game one. I certainly didn't.
No. I thought it was going to be seven. No way that I thought.
All right.
But now with this,
I know. And then after tonight, and thank you for the call. After tonight, now I hope it doesn't happen. But if the Celtics pace the Knicks by 20-plus points, I think there's going to be a little dose of reality and then a little more, as opposed to excitement for Game 3.
A little more balance going into Saturday?
Yes, I think things will even out. Now, if the Knicks won tonight...
Oh, forget about it.
Then I think you could say, okay, well, it's not just one game.
Yeah.
Now it's they've won two games on the road against a team that they weren't supposed to be able to beat. So that, to me, would be a different story.
Yep.
I can't go nuts after just one game, especially when I expected the Knicks to somewhat, at the very least, compete in this series. Now, there are a lot of positives for the Knicks themselves to believe that they could actually beat Boston.
That's one of them.
Yeah, well, even though they played well against them the last time they played them and they just came up short, beating them is a different story.
Sure.
Now they know that they don't even have to be at their best and they could beat Boston. Once you draw blood, it's like, okay, he's human.
That
we understand. Exactly, he's cut. So now they have that belief, which makes them very dangerous. I just worry that we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here with how good Boston is.
All right, so this is a weird way to look at it, but look at this in like mathematical increments. You start in terms of a belief or a level of conviction from fans, right? before the series, it was whatever. And I know it varies, but you know what mine was. I was thinking Celtics in five, maybe Celtics in six, right?
Right, okay.
When the Knicks, I never said it, but that was that's where I was obviously leaning. When you look at the fact that the Knicks already won one, that's going to literally represent a 25% increase in either confidence or excitement or a little bit of both, because you literally, you just, to win, you got to win 25, 25, 25, 25. So it's like, it's almost like splitting up a mathematical pie. So the reason for me why it's a little more than the 25 is because I see Boston hobbled. That to me
is what... But Porzingis is playing. If he wasn't playing, Hauser,
I know, I know, but not, I don't think Hauser is. And
Brown's been banged up for a while.
Well, that's kind of the reason.
But we've known that for a while.
I understand that. But Jalen, I know. But I think it's a slightly different Knicks team than they were coming out of the... out of the Pistons series. Like, it's funny, like, going through that, I'm like, man, couldn't we just get the Magic and just beat them in four? I know the Magic won one game as well. But, like, winning four or five and just smoke a young team that just happened to be here? No. So while it was frustrating in real time, at the end of the day, I mean, they had a real sparring partner. So when they step into the bigger ring, you know, they're ready to deliver some different shots. Like, the Knicks, they didn't look right to me this year. They looked just a little different the other night, and I'm riding that, and I'm pumped.
I'm talking to the majority who I feel like have turned.
Wait, coming in with a list here, huh?
Well, I mean, yeah, I've been out for a while.
I got to refute this. I got to offer a rebuttal to this. I got to check in on that.
Well, and again, it's not just specific to you. I know it sounds like that, but I feel like the majority have gone, or you have gone the way of the majority, or they've gone the way you have now.
Whatever. What do we got?
Well, Tibbs, I mean, he's still the same head coach.
Yes, he is.
So if we don't believe in him, I thought the Knicks put on an offensive masterclass in game one. It looked like they were moving without the ball. Brunson was dishing the ball all over the place, not just being Jalen Brunson. It wasn't just ISO ball. The Knicks played a very good game. I thought it was a well-coached game as well from Tom Thibodeau. And the same people that didn't believe in Tibbs going into the series are now either ignoring it or thinking he could be an asset. So where are we at with now? It's the same head coach that was being criticized during the Pistons series.
That's right.
That now we believe can give them a chance to win this series against the Celtics.
He's the same coach, but I don't think he's playing against the same team that I thought he would see in this series. And that's really the genesis of this blossoming confidence for me. Now, I've also given Tom Thibodeau a lot of credit where I've said many times he's really good. I just don't think he's great, nor do I ever think that he will be great, because he's almost 70 and he hasn't proven to be great yet, and that's a lot of evidence for me. However, that play they drew up the other night, I mean, I know that Jalen Brunson missed the shot, but that was absolutely gorgeous. I mean, so he's the coach.
Maybe the best closing play that we've seen in a Knicks big spot ever. I mean, I don't remember, you know, in the 90s, it was feed the big man down low. You know, if he gets doubled, he's probably still not kicking it out. But you get the point.
I do get the point. I'm trying to think about this, like, in the mental Rolodex, like the Trent Tucker shot on MLK
the
Day.
The Melo stuff was never, they never had good closeout plays with Carmelo Anthony.
No, they didn't. It was a lot of ISO, very predictable. The Allen Houston off the front rim and in. Yeah. But that was just him kind of beating somebody and shooting a little floater. Yeah. It's like some So it was very well designed play. There's no doubt about that. I think that there's still, I'll say, limitations. Well, yeah, I guess limitations in my mind about Tom Thibodeau, but I don't think that the Celtics are quite as potent as they once as I thought they were because of their injuries. But also, and this is as important, I also think that there's an element of togetherness now and gel and cohesion with this team that was not there for the first 5 or 6 months of the season. And is it directly attributable solely to the Pistons series? Maybe that's a little bit of a reach to say that, but I think a large part of it is. So that's the response on the whole Tom Thibodeau stuff. I still think he's good. I think he's good, but I don't think he's great. I haven't changed on that.
All right, one last thing. The love for Bridges. Like, I get that Bridges hit a big three in overtime and made the big play to steal the end of the game.
Yep.
He did not have a good season, and he still cannot shoot the basketball with enough efficiency to make me turn and feel good about him. Now, what I love about Bridges is not only the defensive stuff, but the potential. That's why I've been saying all year long, I love the talent of this team, because the potential that whether it's Cat, Brunson, OG, or Bridges can go off, that to me is why you make the move and get the most talent. But that potential has not been anywhere near fulfilled from Bridges, even on a night where he hits a big three in overtime, even on a night where he makes the final steal. I'm not all of a sudden going to be saying Bridges is worth the five draft picks, because of a two-play. It wasn't even one game. He was 3-for-13 on that. Maybe if it's a couple of those shots earlier in the game, they don't get blown out by 20, and then maybe they don't have to go to overtime. Same thing with Detroit. Maybe if Bridges hit more of his shots, they wouldn't have to go to game six against Detroit. So Bridges has a long way to go. He's just not efficient shooting the basketball. To me, that has been his biggest problem in year one with the Knicks.
All right, the biggest thing with Bridges is we're fixated on the 5 first-round picks. And I've been part of that as well. I get that.
I don't even care about that myself.
I mean, eventually we got to move on, but that's the reference point. You know, what we gave up. Okay, so that's
because they thought he was going to be a star.
No question. Or at least they thought that he would fit in more seamlessly. I think, obviously, their pecking orders of stars were, even though he was acquired before Karl Anthony Towns, was clearly Brunson. Maybe they had an idea that they were going to get Cat anyway, Brunson number two or 1A, whatever. And then, you know, Bridges/OG or OG/Bridges. Now, the value and the appeal for what Bridges did the other night, it's not recognizable on the stat sheet, but he played 51 minutes.
Right.
And, you know, if he helps them win this series, and again, it's so early, but it's an if, then those 5 first round picks are worth it. Like, if he helps you get to the conference finals with a real chance to win and get to the NBA finals, then I would give up 10 first round picks. I wouldn't mind that. The other thing, too, is, you know, we talk about this with Soto and Judge and some other hitters. Like, should he hit second, third? When Lindor went to the leadoff spot, Mendoza did that. That opened up Lindor, freed him up a little bit. He started hitting really well last year. But I think it's very different in basketball. In baseball, I'm not saying it doesn't matter where you hit, but in basketball, when you go from, you know, a frequency and an expectation of touching the ball, which he did, you know, he touched the ball more in Phoenix and certainly with the Nets, for sure. Well, I mean, they got Booker, but he touched
the
ball
with the Nets.
Doubt. But now you come here, you know, I don't know that we gave him enough of a grace period to figure it out. I mean, Jalen Brunson is a ball dominant pound the rock point. And then you got a big who's 7'1", who's the starting center in the All-Star game, who's making $50 million, who's going to get 15, 18 shots a night. So I think we oversimplified how tough it was for him to fit in. And my biggest gripe with him was I thought he just played like a mouse. I thought he was soft.
Okay.
And now he's showing me that he's not. He's got a little fight in him that I didn't see, and now I'm seeing it.
Okay, but for me to say that he played a good game, I think to your point, he played 51 minutes. Yeah, he played 51 minutes. He had 8 points. It's not Mitchell Robinson. It's Mikal Bridges. You got to shoot the basketball. You got to knock down some shots. I mean, my God. And now all of a sudden everybody throwing him flowers. Bridges is great. Forget the picks. I don't care about the picks. I love the trade at the time, so I'm not saying, oh, he's worth the draft picks. I don't care about the draft picks. I'd make that move every time. What I want to see is Bridges be the player that he was with the Suns or with the Nets. Defensively, yes. Hitting that big three, yes. He's got a clutch gene in him. He hit big shots when Brunson was out in Portland. He had that game that he went.
Yes, he took over.
So he has the ability to do that.
Yeah.
3-for-13? Not good enough. And the last of those three, you know, was the biggest one in overtime, knocking down that three. But part of that, he's got to be able to score the basketball.
I agree with that. Oh, dude, I'm with you on that. Of course. Come on.
Yeah.
I do think the inefficient.
I'm not like attacking you.
No, I don't take it that way. Listen, I knew you were coming with some material today. Come on. Sal's been foaming at the mouth. He texted me last night with this exclamation points. I can't wait to get back. I'm ready to go. So I knew you'd come in with your little list here. Wait till we get to the Mets of the Yanks. I'm sure you got a longer list there. But don't even forget, Sal, the Detroit Pistons series where, you know, if the Knicks go on this magical run, and I'm not saying that they will, if they do, it's going to be very easy to forget because we'll get wrapped up in this series and maybe the next one or maybe beyond, blah, blah, blah. Like, if he doesn't hit that three down 11 in Detroit, Mikal Bridges from the corner.
Right.
If he doesn't hit that three when they're down 6,
he's hit some big shots.
I mean, he has hit some big shots. How about the tip in the other night in the previous series? How about that lefty dunk in transit? Like, but Bridges, I think I can only speak for myself. I've gotten on him more because he's come across as too passive. But maybe he's just one of these outwardly quiet, but inwardly, you know, maybe tougher than I thought. Not everybody's Charles Oakley or Draymond Green. He's fitting in. And that's for his role on the team, that's good enough for me now. But he's got to make more shots.
I've got something. No more grievances to air.
Yeah,
no bones back.
I like the grievances.
I may have changed a little bit. Now, you know, I was dealing with some stuff over the course of the last, four shows.
Yeah.
Felt like I've been out for 2 weeks. It's really been 4 shows. It's really not that big, but, if you know, a lot to react to with the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I've been out for a while. But, you know, due to certain circumstances, I have to bring something up with you and see now maybe that I see, I don't know, some things in life in a different way. It's a very sensitive thing. We get to that when we come back.
But you do have Max Fried, who's ridiculous so far this year. Dylan Cease, who's been awful. And in one of those games tonight here at 7:05 first pitch, rubber match, Yankees have lost the 2 previous series, and you don't want to make it 3. So go out there, you know, win this game and try to get some better energy. Yanks, really, both teams have looked a little last 10 days.
Yeah, go away for a few days here and miss some shows. Both teams fall apart. Mets and Yanks, not very good. So we'll do more of that later. Okay, so, you know, I was out because of the passing of my brother-in-law.
Yep.
He was 44 years old. It was a bad thing. I had to be there for my wife and our family. And it was really, I discussed this a little bit. And my wife in trying to grieve. Now, I'm not a big, like, signs guy. Like, oh, there's, you know, my father died. It was also bad. But it wasn't like, oh, there's a sign from dad. There's a butterfly. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. my mom and sister would do it. Mm-hmm. To each their own.
Yeah, sure.
So my wife is. And she wants to look for signs and which comforts her. And that's fine. So I sit back and I understand it and say, yeah, you know what? That's a sign. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was never a big signs guy until this. Now, I committed to going to game two.
I don't know.
Home game. Well, my buddy Wills, weeks ago, when tickets went on sale for the postseason,
uh-huh.
my buddy Wills bought tickets for the Knicks second round.
Yep.
He said, are you in?
I remember you telling me that. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So I said, yeah, I'm in. He was like, I think it was $500 face for, you know, not a great seat, but whatever. I'm like, I'm in. This was before the playoffs even started, so we had no idea who was going to be against, if it was even going to be played, all that stuff. Yeah, I'm in. Knicks obviously win round one. Schedule comes out for round two. It's home game two of round two, which is game four of the series.
Mm-hmm.
My brother-in-law, my late brother-in-law just passed away.
Yep.
He was a huge Knicks fan. He was the one I told you about.
Oh, he was a big Knicks fan.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah, big Knicks fan. Huge Knicks fan.
Okay.
People were giving speeches and, you know, referencing the Allen Houston game, even his best friends, where he was going nuts about the Allen Houston. He was the brother-in-law that invited me over for the Knicks playoffs.
With the broken TV.
With the broken TV, yeah.
You'd think
huge Knicks fan, he'd have the TV.
Oh, that's why I wasn't sure he was a big Knicks fan. He had a TV. Well, playing the Heat.
Yeah, he at least was a big Knicks fan. Yeah. He did definitely get into it. We bet some games together, all that stuff. It turns out game four is on his birthday, May 12th. Would have been his 45th birthday.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's obviously a sensitive thing. He just passed away.
Yep.
You know, my wife maybe want to honor him on his birthday and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I told her, this could be a sign. Joe's is giving me a sign.
Besides, you're going to be divorced soon if you don't
I think, babe, you know what? I think I'm with you. I think your brother gave me a sign. Of all the games, you're telling me home game two was going to fall on his birthday? I think he'd want me to go to the game.
And well played. What'd you say?
Well, we're still in discussion.
We're still negotiating?
I forgot to bring it up to you first. But
okay.
Well, I didn't want to.
It's
very fresh here. But you know what I'm saying?
I do.
Could that be a sign? I mean, maybe it's turning me into a believer in these things. I don't know, of all the games to pick,
uh-huh.
and it just so happens to fall, home game two, which turned out to be game four, is going to be on Monday, May 12th, which would have been his birthday.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm taking that as a sign from my brother-in-law, from above, saying, here, go to the Knicks game, go have fun. He went to game seven last year against the Pacers, took his family.
He did?
Yeah, because, he knew his diagnosis. They were like, you know.
He was there, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm a signed guy.
Okay, so.
To an extent. I think my wife's more. I don't know, maybe, I don't want you to say it's a woman thing more,
but
maybe it is. I remember when I met Jan and started going to Dallas, like her grandparents, like their sign is like a red robin. Like whenever a red robin comes and just kind of like it was connected to the family,
whether it's at the
gravesite, all that. And I'm like, all right, I can get behind this. I'm spiritual. I believe in God. I believe in what I believe. So, okay, yeah. I think the key for you, now, I do think you'll be able to play, you'll be able to talk your way into this. Right. You'll be going to this
game. Now, if my wife needs me there to be there, I'll be there for her.
Mm-hmm.
But is this a sign from a brother?
I don't want to
disrespect her brother
either. I know that's not your intention. I know we're having fun, but I know that. We all know that. But here's what you can't do. And with you, I'm not so sure if you could avoid this, because I know you now.
Yeah.
You can play it up, it's a sign, and mean it.
Yeah.
Okay, go to the game. But then the next time, like, there's a sign that she wants to get you involved, you can't diminish it.
Right.
You're either a sign guy or not. Everywhere the signs, you know, start singing the song, dude.
Right.
You're either a sign guy or you're not.
I think I'm converted now.
All right.
Hoff, do you think that this is a sign from my brother-in-law about this Knicks game happening?
1,000%.
Yeah, see, it's a sign.
Yep.
Dove, you're religious. Do you believe in this sign? Is it a religious thing or just a spiritual thing?
It's spiritual, probably. Maybe both.
I'm more intellectual than I am anything else.
And
I think I understand how it's a nice angle to deal with it with your wife.
Yes.
And you're thinking about your brother-in-law as you're at the Knicks game, which has
the
meaning to it.
Yeah.
But the things that have to go into the purchase that your brother-in-law would be involved, I'm not so sure.
Well, just the fact that the game, it's not, you know, so you don't, but you're not a sign guy at all. You don't believe in signs.
I actually am a sign guy, but the sign has to be a result of something that had to be able to be put in play for that reason. Here, all the things that went into you getting these tickets were not involved.
I'll give you another example on the sign.
Dolph, can you complicate this anymore than you just did, buddy?
One last thing. Like, so my wife was looking for a sign. One of her friends happened to come over and bring her something and brought her, just by sheer chance, the plant that was her mother's favorite. And my wife was saying, like, I want a sign to know that he's okay in heaven. And it happened to be this plant that her friend brought that comforted her, saying, that's my sign.
That's awesome. I believe in that stuff.
Okay, so then, but why can't then I say...
You can!
I mean, what a sign from your brother to me with the Knicks game four.
Yeah, don't listen to him. Okay, we're all saying you can.
It's either
listen to him.
It's either you don't believe in it, and like some people be like, yeah, okay, the flowers, whatever. Oh yeah, okay, Sal, it's a sign. Or the flowers are a sign. The Knicks tickets are a sign.
Listen, I mean, I don't want to get too deep here, but but like, if you don't believe in that stuff,
I believe.
No, I'm saying in general.
Now,
Knicks by 17 that night. if you don't believe in the signs, and I'm not preaching, not telling people what to do, because I don't believe as much as my wife does. Like I wrestle with that stuff sometimes too, but I just think it makes life more palatable. Is that too big of a word?
No, I heard you. I heard some of you when I was talking about the big word stuff. Anyway, all right, I appreciate you listening to that. Let's get back to the calls here. 888-808-1019. Aaron is calling from Toms River, New Jersey. What's up, Aaron?
How's it going, guys? Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, Aaron. What's up,
buddy?
And welcome back, Sal. Hope everything is going, you know, as best.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
Definitely, Sal. I don't know anything about signs, but you should definitely give a course on Husbands 101, figuring out ways to get into games. So I give you a lot of credit there for that angle, but I'm not weighing in on the sign stuff. I'm Jewish also. I'm going to leave that to Dove, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
I had a quick tips point, and I think if we look at Kenny Atkinson, he had the same rap as Tibbs. Culture guy, team builder, and look at what he's doing with the Cavs. Look at what he's doing with the Cavs. So, like, I think we got to give Tibbs more time. I think we got to give Bridges more time. I think the first year for Bridges is a big thing for him. He's learned so many new roles, and I think we got to be a little more patient. And the last thing I'm going to say is the Knicks, if they're going to win this, keep the series close, keep the games close. We got Brunson. That is all I'm going to say about that. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. If we keep things close, I think we always have a chance.
Thank you for the call, Aaron. Here's the problem with this. So a couple of things. Number one, we don't have time. We're evaluating in real time with Tibbs and Bridges, and we're talking about this season. And we look at their window. It might only be a 2-3-year window. So there's not really a lot of time just to sit back and say, okay, let's see how it plays out. Now, I would give them another full year. I'm on record of saying that with Tibbs. I would do that. If they would have lost in the first round, I certainly would have understood why people would want to get rid of them. But they didn't lose in the first round. They won at least the game. Remember, the report from Begley was that they needed to win the first round and be competitive in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
So far off to a good start. Check. All signs would be pointing to Tibbs returning next year, and rightfully so. The other part about Brunson, and as long as the games are close to the end of the games, that's fine that you have Brunson on your team. I don't think that he can do it against Boston the way that he did against Detroit or Philadelphia a year ago, but he doesn't need to because they have other guys. You saw that in game one where he was not, you know, he's getting other guys involved. He wasn't reluctant to give up the basketball. Yeah, sure, at times he's going to take it on his own, but other times he's going to get his teammates involved. I don't think Brunson could play hero ball against the Celtics the way that he did in the past in the postseason.
I would probably agree with that. I think the more you do that, probably the less chance you have of moving on and beating a team that's better than you. But a bigger picture here. Listen, I think the Knicks have been a very complicated analysis this year because they were really good last year, and they were really fun, and they were really connected. And then they changed things up, and they, you know, they lifted up the hood, and they didn't just, you know, fill up the windshield wiper. They did some tweaking in that engine, which is okay. And I think in our own minds, we thought that it would be a little more seamless, a little quicker. There'd be continuity immediately. They played together in college. Why does this not look right? And then you factor, or as right as we thought, maybe. And then you factor in because they gave up the five picks for Bridges and a money perspective, they don't have a lot of room to do something big this summer. It was almost like, wow, did we just hit the wall already? And it was okay to feel that way, and I still feel that way to an extent, just not as much as I once did.